उधारा सर्व एव इति ज्ञानीत्वत्मैव मे मतम् आस्तिथासा हि युक्तात्मा माम एवानुत्तमम् गतिम्. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me, the highest and most perfect goal. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is not that devotees who are less complete in knowledge are not dear to the Lord. The Lord says that all are magnanimous, because anyone who comes to the Lord for any purpose is called a Mahatma, or a great soul. Sadhava hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam dvaham, maranyat te na jananti, naham te vyamanagapi. The devotees are always in my heart, and I am always in the hearts of the devotees. The devotee does not know anything beyond me, and I also cannot forget the devotee. There is a very intimate relationship between me and the pure devotees. Pure devotees in full knowledge are never out of spiritual touch, and therefore they are very much dear to me. I would like everyone to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath's temple on this very auspicious day of the celebration, where every year we offer beautiful flowers for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is explained in this verse by Lord Krishna that those who are on the highest level of spiritual realization, they worship him, Krishna. Krishna explains that there is no difference between him, his name, his pastimes, and his form. The Lord descends in this material world in so many ways to attract the hearts of those who have forgotten him. And in what way do we forget Krishna? The soul is eternally part and parcel of Krishna. The soul by nature is the eternal servant of Krishna. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. But due to contact with this material energy, we have forgotten our relationship with Krishna. We have become infatuated by the attractions of this external world. Through our mind and through our senses, we have developed so many relationships with so many different people and so many different things. And this preoccupation has created a consciousness in which we are repeatedly suffering or enjoying the fruits of our material actions, which is called the law of karma. And in this way, most people in this world, they're simply acting on the mental and bodily concept of life. But the great sages and the scriptures declare that this is not our real home. This is maya. This is illusion. How to revert our consciousness back to the loving service of the Lord when it has become so habituated and so addicted to serving the mind and senses? We have created a whole civilization with a whole system of science and technology which simply perpetuates and infatuates this illusion. Therefore, the Lord, in so many ways, descends to give us an opportunity to fix our consciousness on Him. And one of the most beautiful ways that He appears is in the form of the Archamurti, or the deity. Saravopadiva nirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchyate. The same mind and senses that are causing so much entanglement and bondage, if they are simply engaged in the service of the Lord, those activities purify our heart and naturally awaken our original spiritual consciousness. So at this particular time, we can only see matter. We can only identify with tangible things. So by Krishna's causeless mercy, He appears in a tangible way. And this is the deity of the Lord. We can see Him with our eyes. We can bathe Him. We can offer. We could make garlands for Him. We can cook for Him. We can dance before Him. All of our senses and our mind can be completely absorbed in devotional service in the most tangible, practical way when we worship the deity properly. Of course, some people who do not understand the inconceivable powers of God, they may think that why do you worship this idol? Why do you worship this form? God is spirit, and God is everywhere. But the Shastras and the Sadhus, they respond that God is everywhere. There is no doubt through His multifarious energies. If He is everywhere, that means He is also in this deity. But when the great Acharyas or their representatives personally invite the Lord to appear within that form in His complete, full manifestation, He agrees to come. And as we develop love for Krishna, in the same way, the deity reveals Himself to us. This is a great science. And we find that the greatest acharyas who ever lived throughout history, they all worship the deity, the Archamurti, as God Himself. And what an inspiration it was. Who are the greatest spiritual personalities, the greatest philosophers, the most merciful and compassionate proponents of Sanatana Dharma? Let us take Shankaracharya. He installed so many deities throughout India. In Badrik Ashram, he personally worshipped the deity of Badri Vishal. And his Ishtadev was a deity of Lord Narasingha Dev, which appeared to him in a most wonderful way. And in Joshimath, there he established that deity and he worshipped him as his heart and soul. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam Uthamate. Shankaracharya was ultimately a devotee of Krishna, and he worshipped the deity of Krishna and taught the whole world how to worship the deity of Lord Narayan. Similarly, Ramanujacharya, after he left behind all of his material entanglements and accepted the sannyas order, he went to that holy place called Srirangam in South India. And there he spent the rest of his life in the loving service of the deity of Ranganath. And he taught the whole world how to worship Lord Ranganath. There's a beautiful story about one man named Danur Das. And he was very much infatuated and attached to a beautiful woman. And during a procession, he was just looking at that beautiful woman. And the people around were looking at him like, has he no respectability? If you're going to look at a woman like this, at least it should be a little secret and private. and he was fanning her with a peacock fan. So Ramanujacharya saw this, considered this person is in a very embarrassing situation. He definitely needs the mercy of Krishna. So he called that person over and he said, why are you just fanning at this beautiful lady and looking at her constantly in a public place? He says, she is so beautiful, I cannot get her out of my heart. I cannot stop thinking of her. I can't stop looking at her. She's the most beautiful thing in all creation. And Ramanujacharya said, if I show you something more beautiful, will you give your heart and soul to that? He said, definitely. He was very much captivated by the eyes of this woman. Ramanujacharya took him before the deity of Ranganath in this holy dham of Rangakshetra. And Ramanujacharya, that great Vaishnav, prayed to the Lord, this man is so fallen. Please attract his heart. You are all attractive. And when he saw the lotus feet of the Lord and gradually saw the various limbs of his body, and then when he saw the beautiful, beautiful lotus eyes of Sri Ranganath, by the mercy of the Lord and by the prayers of Ramanujacharya, the Lord revealed his divine supreme beauty. And Danur Das said, my Lord, he just began to cry in ecstatic love, and he surrendered at the feet of the deity, and he became Ramanujacharya's disciple. And then that beautiful woman, she also became Ramanujacharya's disciple. And Ramanujacharya said, get married and don't be attracted to each other, but simply together serve Lord Ranganath and focus your joint attraction to him only. And in this way, they lived perfect life in devotional service. Ramanujacharya spent his whole remaining of his life, besides some traveling, simply worshipping Lord Ranganath. And at the end, he instructed his disciples how to always chant the holy names and meditate on the beautiful form of the deity. And then there was that great Acharya Madhvacharya, one of the most profound philosophers in all of history. He traveled throughout all of India and conquered all directions with the Dvaita Vaishnava philosophy. He was no sentimentalist. Some people think that these bhaktas who worship the deities are sentimentalists. It's meant for ladies. But the real staunch transcendentalists, the men, they study Vedanta and do dhyana or meditation. But let us examine Madhvacharya. As far as his scholarship, he defeated every philosopher in India. No one could stand before him. He understood the Vedic truths with such sublime, concise wisdom. As far as his physical strength, he was the strongest man on earth. He was actually a avatar of Bhima and Hanuman, the son of Vayu. When he was attacked by tiger, he just threw the tiger away. When a whole gang of dozens and dozens of dacoits came to attack his disciples to protect them, single-handedly, he killed all of them. When the strongest wrestler in all the world challenged him, Madhvacharya said, if you want to wrestle me, first do this. Separate my toe from the ground. And this man who defeated everyone in his physical strength throughout the world, he struggled and strained for hours and could not separate Madhvacharya's toe from his ground. Such a powerful person, such a great scholar. But what is he so known for? For the worship of Udupi Krishna. The Lord and the deity, he was praying to worship the Lord in a deity form. And when that boat came from Dwarka, it was about to sink. And Madhvacharya, he signaled to the boatman how to come to shore safely. And the boatman said, I will give you any wealth. I have so many treasures on this boat. He said, you just give me some Gopi Chandan for Tilak. So he took off a big block of Gopi Chandan, and the Gopi Chandan cracked open, and there was the beautiful deity of Udupi Krishna. Little child Krishna holding a churning rod for butter on one hand and the rope for the churning in another hand. And that deity was so heavy that a dozen men could not lift it. But Madhvacharya, in deep ecstatic love for this form of Krishna, he placed him on his, lifted him up, and as he was carrying the deity from the ocean side into the town of Udupi, he began to compose beautiful, beautiful, beautiful prayers in glorification of Lord Krishna, which to this day, over 750 years later, are sung by all the followers of Madhvacharya. And he worshipped that deity so carefully, so punctually, and he established all of his sannyasi disciples to maintain the deity worship for the rest of time after he departs from the world. Udupi Krishna was the life and soul of Madhvacharya. And he taught the world to make that deity his life and soul. And then we have such great souls, the very Yuga Avatar. Before him, Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was a very great Paramhamsa Vaishnava. By the divine arrangement of the Lord, at Govardhan Hill, the deity of Sri Gopal appeared to him, and Madhavendra Puri installed that deity by having a wonderful abhishek, making a wonderful temple gradually. And when that deity appeared, spoke to him and told him, please get chandan from the Malaya hills near Jagannath Puri. Madhavendra Puri risked his life to walk thousands of kilometers all the way beyond Jagannath Puri to collect that chandan. And then he began to walk all the way back, risking his life, so much trouble. And ultimately that deity of Gopal told him that Gopinath is on the way. You are already at Remuna. The deity of Gopinath is none different than Gopal. Worship him with sandalwood. In this way, the deity of Gopal was the life and soul of Madhavendra Puri. And after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the renounced order of life, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has come to show the path by which everyone can perfect their lives in this age of Kali. He went to Jagannath Puri. And when he saw the dome of Jagannath's temple on the outskirts of Puri, just the thought of Lord Jagannath, he bowed down in ecstatic love. And then when he entered into the temple of Jagannath and he saw the beautiful lotus-eyed forms of Balaram Subhadra and Jagannath Swami, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down unconscious in ecstatic love upon seeing the beauty of the deity, because he knew that the deity is none different than Krishna. And he wanted to show the whole world that Krishna appears in the beautiful form of the Murti. He went in such an ecstatic trance that all the symptoms of his life were not manifested. And later on, every single day he would worship the deity of Jagannath. And after the Snan Yatra, when Jagannath becomes ill by his divine pastime after being bathed, for some weeks Jagannath goes into seclusion. And Lord Chaitanya, feeling so much separation, not seeing the beautiful form of Jagannath every day, he couldn't bear it. He couldn't even tolerate living in Puri without seeing Jagannath. So he went to that holy place of Alalanath. And there, in intense separation, he would practically weep day and night longing to see the beautiful deity of Jagannath. But one day his devotees wanted to give him relief, so they understood that Krishna is also fully manifested within the sound of his name. The name of Krishna is also a deity, a murti, in which Krishna manifests. But in any time, in any situation, in any place, we can have darshan of Krishna by chanting his name. So all the devotees began to very loudly dance and chant the holy names for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon hearing the holy name, in great ecstatic love, he was pacified and began to dance with the devotees. Gadadhar Pandit, who is the expansion of Srimati Radharani, in fact, she was Srimati Radharani in her full manifestation, who joined Lord Chaitanya in this form of Sri Gadadhar Pandit. And when he came to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya assigned him to be the pujari of the deity of Tota Gopinath. This beautiful form of the Lord was standing in his threefold bending form, playing upon his flute. And Lord Chaitanya told him that you should never leave this deity for the rest of your life. You should always remain in Jagannath Puri and serve him. And he did that. And after Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually Lord Chaitanya every single day would go to worship Tota Gopinath along with Gadadhar Pandit. And there he would hear Gadadhar, Sri Gadadhar, recite Srimad Bhagavatam for the pleasure of the Lord in his form of Gopinathji. And after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from this world, Gadadhar Pandit, in separation from the Lord, was aging very quickly due to ecstatic love. And one day when he went to put the crown and the garland on the Lord, his body was so weak that he could not reach up. So the deity, for the pleasure of Gadadhar, sat down with crossed legs to make it very easy for him to garland him and put crown upon him each day. And the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who were sent to Vrindavan, Srila Rupa Goswami, he made his life and soul Radha Govindaji. Sanatan Goswami established as his life and soul the beautiful form of Madan Mohan. Jiva Goswami showed the whole world how to engage all one's mind, senses and heart in the service of Sri Radha Damodar. Madhu Pandit worshipped Radha Gopinath. Raghunath Das Goswami worshipped the beautiful form of Giridhari. Lokanath Goswami, Radha Vinod. Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He had a Shalagram Shila. In fact, he had 12 Shalagram Shilas. And one day, he was discussing the Hari Bhakti Vilas with Srila Sanatan Goswami. And Hari Bhakti Vilas gives so many wonderful instructions of how to worship the deity and the importance of worshiping the deity. Shri Giriraj Maharaj ki. Let us all welcome Giriraj Maharaj by chanting Hari Bol.
Hari Bol!
Let us all welcome all of his most holy and honorable followers that have come in his entourage along with him. Maharaj, please. Description from Hari Bhakti Vilas. In his heart awakened a desire to offer all of this wonderful worship and devotion to the murti of Lord Sri Krishna. On the day of Narasingha Chaturdasi, one very wealthy devotee came to Vrindavan and was offering so many wonderful jewels and clothes for the Goswamis to worship their deities with. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami was thinking, all of the other Goswamis have wonderful murtis, and it is so limited, the puja I can perform with only a shila. And because it was Narasingha's appearance day, he began to read Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he came to the place where Lord Narasinghadev, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, appeared from a stone pillar, he prayed, "My Lord, if it is your desire, please from this shila manifest yourself in the beautiful form, your threefold form of Sri Krishna." The next day, when he awoke and went to take his bath in Jamuna, there he saw that from his Damodar Shila, the beautiful form of Radha Damodar had manifested. Krishna, playing his threefold bending, in his threefold bending form, playing upon his flute. And he called Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, and all of the other great Vaishnavas. And when they saw the beautiful form, they named him Sri Radharaman. And they explained that from his feet to his waist, he looks identical to Madan Mohan. From his waist to his chest, he has the exact features of Radha Govindaji. And his face has all the beauty of Radha Gopinath. So the Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana Murtis, the three most worshipable deities of Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, and Radha Gopinath, all three manifest themselves in this beautiful form of Sri Radharaman. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he worshipped with his life and soul. But one day, he was feeling ashamed because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, previously in South India, told him to follow the instructions of his father, who was a great devotee. And before his father left this world, he ordered Gopal Bhatta that you should always worship Lord Chaitanya. So he was thinking, my order was to worship Lord Chaitanya, but I'm spending all my life worshipping this beautiful murti of Lord Krishna. So as he was thinking of this, right before his very eyes, the deity of Radharaman transformed into the beautiful golden form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami, upon seeing his most worshipable Lord standing before him, in ecstatic love, he began to weep and cry and fell to the ground to offer obeisances. And then again Lord Chaitanya transformed into the beautiful deity of Sri Radharaman. And then he understood Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayana, that there is no difference between Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. And he worshipped Sri Radharaman in ecstatic love for the rest of his days. And before leaving, to make absolutely sure this deity would be properly worshipped for all time to come, he established such standards and principles that the descendants of his original disciples would carry on that worship without break. And we find this amongst so many of the great acharyas, how they worshipped and loved Krishna in his beautiful deity form. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he has descended from the spiritual world to give everyone the opportunity to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. He established over 100 temples throughout the world and personally installed the deities of Radha and Krishna, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra. In fact, Srila Prabhupada personally taught us with his own hands how to perform the Abhishek, how to perform the offerings and the artis. In this way, Srila Prabhupada gave us entrance into that realm by which we can engage all of our senses, all of our mind in the loving service of the Lord. So, upon his instructions, we come to these temples to worship the beautiful deity. And there are so many wonderful festivals, like the festival we are holding today. Today is Pushyabhishek, the winter bathing ceremony of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here at Radha Gopinath Temple, we decided that on this day, some years ago, we will bathe the deities in flower petals and worship them with flowers. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. And how wonderful it is. When I came to the temple this morning, I saw so many dozens and dozens of devotees just so busily engaged in making flower crowns and flower outfits and making flower garlands and doing so much service. Service to the deity completely unites everyone, completely frees us from all ego, because we all become one team of devoted personalities simply working, existing to do something wonderful for the deity. And now tonight, so many hundreds of you have come together, especially to see this beautiful, beautiful festival, the festival of flowers. Krishna is all attractive. Along with his eternal consort, Srimati Radharani, they will attract our hearts and our souls away from all the mortal sources of misery in this world, if we simply approach them with a sincere heart and with devotion. Anyone who sees this beautiful Abhishek of flowers for Sri Sri Radha Gopinath will have the choicest opportunity to repose all their love in the lotus feet of the Lord and return back home, back to Godhead, never to return to this material world again. The Abhishek starts in a few minutes, but we'd like to ask His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj to say a few words.
Hare Krishna. I'm very pleased to be in the midst of so many flower-like devotees. One of Srila Prabhupada's disciples in Bombay named Haridas told me of one incident where he or someone offered Srila Prabhupada a garland of flowers, which Srila Prabhupada accepted. And Srila Prabhupada in turn asked Haridas, "Do you know why we wear flower garlands?" So Haridas could not answer. Srila Prabhupada replied that the flowers are very beautiful and soft and fragrant. So by keeping the flowers around our hearts, we hope that our hearts, by the association of the flowers, will also become soft. So, flowers have very wonderful qualities. Of course, Srila Prabhupada heart was as soft and beautiful and aromatic as any flower or more, but because of his humility, he considered the flowers to be glorious, and that his heart could benefit from the association of the flowers. Of course, we know how the Lord is worshipped by flowers and fruits and leaves. In Vrindavan especially, Lord Krishna is so pleased to decorate himself with forest flowers and leaves, and he's more fond of such forest decorations than he is of the most opulent gold and jewels in Vaikuntha. And devotees explain that the forest of Vrindavan, the trees, the flowers, the creepers, the forest of Vrindavan is actually more opulent than Vaikuntha. And within ISKCON also, Srila Prabhupada wanted the deities to be decorated very nicely with flowers. In Juhu, Srila Prabhupada instructed us to fill all vacant portions of the land with flowers to be offered to the deities. One day, Srimati Radharani's hair, her face in particular, were decorated with lots of flowers. So Srila Prabhupada called Siddhartha Prabhu and asked him, "Who has decorated Srimati Radharani today?" Siddhartha Prabhu said, "I did." So Srila Prabhupada said, "It is very nice that you have decorated Srimati Radharani with so many flowers. By decorating her with so many flowers, she will attract Lord Krishna and keep him under her control. So you should always decorate her with lots of flowers." I think the few minutes is over. Are they waiting? Just as far as the potency of the service of the deity, Srila Prabhupada said that when he was staying at Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan, one old lady used to go every day to the Yamuna River and bring water in a bucket or to bathe the deities. And, you know, rain or shine, heat or cold, she would go and fetch the water. No matter what her condition was or what the climatic conditions were. And Srila Prabhupada said that just for this one service, which she did with so much devotion, without fail, she would go back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna is very merciful. And because Krishna is absolute, his form and he himself are identical. So by serving the deity, we're actually serving the Lord himself. And one of the Lord's qualities is grateful. He never forgets any service rendered by the devotee. And in the Nectar of Devotion, under the description of gratefulness. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Draupadi. Well, it's Lord Krishna in relation to Draupadi. Now, when she was being insulted in the assembly of the Kurus and being disrobed, she called out, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda." So Lord Krishna himself says that when my devotee Draupadi was being, you know, insulted in the assembly of the Kurus, and she called out to me, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda," I became indebted to her. And by thinking about her love for me when she called my name, my debt to her is increasing day by day. So Srila Prabhupada comments that just by calling out Krishna's name once, Krishna became so obliged to Draupadi. So what to speak of the devotees who are chanting the holy names of Krishna day and night, how obliged Krishna will feel towards such devotees. And at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says in particular that he who explains the message of Bhagavad Gita, or in other words, who preaches the message of Krishna consciousness, he is my dearmost servant. There will never be any servant more dear to me than he. And in the end, he will achieve pure devotional service and come back to me. So, Srila Prabhupada has given us the perfect process by which we can obtain the supreme mercy of Sri Krishna, and that is chanting the holy name, worshipping the deity, and preaching the message of Krishna throughout the world. So we should absorb ourselves in such activities with full faith and confidence that just by engaging in such activities, all of our desires will be fulfilled. All of our needs will be met, and all of our spiritual aspirations will be fulfilled. We don't have to do anything more or less. But of course, within the same activities, we can always do more. And Srila Prabhupada used to say, especially in relation to book distribution, double it, that every year we should double it, double the book distribution. So we don't have to think of any new activities, but we can increase and improve the quality and quantity of the same activities. And that will please Srila Prabhupada, please the previous acharyas, please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and ultimately Radha and Krishna. And we're seeing here that basically we're engaging in the same activities that Srila Prabhupada gave, the same sublime yet simple activities: chanting, dancing, hearing Krishna Katha, worshipping Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. What is increasing? Um,
as you have seen from the inaugural of Srila Prabhupada's centennial at NSCI Worli, and from last Saturday's program at Siddhivinayaka, how eager people are to know about Srila Prabhupada and understand Krishna consciousness. It's never been like this before in Bombay. It's like really wonderful. And by having the weekly programs that we're planning for the next year, I mean, many, many people will come in contact with Krishna consciousness and gradually become devotees. Then we won't know where to fit them all. And that was also Srila Prabhupada's principle. He didn't want us to worry much about facility. He said we should accept whatever facility Krishna gives us. And when Krishna sees that we're using the facility nicely, he will give us more facility. So I think Srila Prabhupada would be very pleased about you all here, because you're not worrying much about the facility, but you're using it to preach. You're following the same simple program that Srila Prabhupada gave, chanting, dancing, feasting and philosophy, and everything is expanding, so very nice.
I have imperfect senses. Radha Gopinath are very specially taking their time so that you can go on speaking. Giriraj Maharaj Ki! Shri Radha Gopinath Ki! This material world is the land of exploitation, the place where everyone, induced by the false ego, is exploiting one another and exploiting the property of God for their own selfish purposes. The spiritual world is the land of devotion. The spiritual world is that place where we are all simply meant for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. To enter into that realm, we must utterly surrender to be utilized in whatever way Krishna desires for his pleasure. When we water the root of the tree, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, every part of the tree is satisfied. When we worship Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and we make our joy in life to see them enjoying and to become the servant of the servant of the servant in cooperative spirit to give them pleasure and satisfaction. That is the true eternal joy of the soul. We are now about to witness the pastime of the spiritual world. We are all about to experience what is spiritual life, how the soul rejoices in seeing Sri Sri Radha Gopinath enjoying the love and the devotion of their devotees. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ji Ki. So let us humbly offer our lives for the pleasure of the Lord by witnessing this beautiful pastime. And let us offer, as the devotees are showering flowers upon their lordships, our contribution is to shower upon them the flowers of the holy name by singing very sweetly, very loudly, and very enthusiastically. Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki. Shri Radha Gopinath Ki.